Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy, and we're your partners in wine, crime, time, and binges, and Netflix shows, and beyond, and everything.
Yes, and beyond. And today, I think today is when the Bama Rush documentary comes out. Will be on our radar for sure. Unless you guys don't want us to do that, so let us know if you're like, fucking no.
Yeah, keep us posted because I remember it taking over, and it is kind of like, we could make it work for a true crime space, but if you guys are like, I literally could not care at all, me and Sarah will just watch it and text each other and not.
Yeah, we'll turn our podcast into just a text chain, which is many podcasts should be, including maybe this one, who knows.
Well, this one, we go, because, I mean, while we haven't covered that one on, because that's on Max now, because, right? It's not, it's officially
It
Max.
Changes today, yes. Uh-oh. It changes from HBO Max to just Max.
To Max. Well, speaking of Max, this one is a Big Mac.
A Big Mac, yes.
And also, Sarah, were you able to watch it on your TV Netflix?
I didn't try, actually.
Because that's the funny, because I swear, so guys, if after you listen to this, you're like, I want to watch it for yourself. I could only find it when I Googled it, and then it would open on my app Netflix. So I'm like, is this like a workaround to German Netflix or not?
Huh.
I'm not sure, but it's a story.
Wait, that's so weird.
I know.
Also because, I mean, I just watched it on my computer.
Oh, okay. Maybe also like my TV's a mess, so maybe it was just that.
But you know what I think is so funny about I watched it dubbed because I was like, I don't have the patience to like read an entire movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's so funny when you watch something dubbed because the real person will be like talking like this and like whatever. And then the guy dubbing the voice will have like the highest voice and they don't even try to make them sound similar. But maybe that's because like it would be too many conflicting voices at the same time.
Oh, that could be it. But it is so funny when you see the person like very angrily explaining something. The person's like, yeah, so I don't know. I was like walking down the street and then like my entire family betrayed me and it was just not a vibe. And I'm just kind of like, and also soon they're going to have to like dub for Gen Z. So it's just truly going to be like all like the, because I do love the TikToks and Reels that she does for Betches Ruby.
Yes,
it's just going to be. She's going to have to dub all of them because people are going to be like, they fax something? What? So who knows what this entails. But
that's so funny. Yeah, so this is like, I got to respect the Germans because like there is no, like they just get right into the shit. There's no like lofty introduction. They're just like, yeah, so there was this bank robbery. And we're like, what? Okay, I'm listening.
Yes, I do really respect that. They were like, we're not here to waste your time.
No.
An hour and a half. No, no fluff from people you might not. We're just giving you what you need.
Exactly. And what we need is the story of Donald Stellwag, and the documentary is called Big Mac, Gangsters and Gold, which is a great name.
I mean, when we saw that name, we're like, we need to talk about this. This is screaming us.
Yes. So this is kind of weird because we're like, Donald was born in 1957. And I'm like, that's the year my dad was born. So it's not like.
Whoa.
It's like a normal, it's a very regular year to be born.
Yeah, right? Just kind of, especially for us, because we're usually like, so they were born in 1824.
Yeah.
For this podcast. So now we're in 1957. But that is just like a classic guy.
Yes. Soon they're going to be like, well, this serial killer or scammer was born in 1991. And we're going to be like, hey.
Yeah, oh my God. We're just like, more. Yeah. They're like, we're like, oh, wait, we went to school with them. Cool.
Yeah. So he was the son of a U.S. soldier who was stationed temporarily in Germany, and his mom was German, and his parents were not married. Apparently, though, if a woman in Germany got involved with an American, it was like a bad look.
Just because everyone's like, we don't like these people are like kind of here for, we don't want them here type of thing. Yeah.
Relatable. Mm-hmm. Donald was raised by his grandparents. I'm not going to pronounce that city.
Fuchstadt?
Fuchstadt. I don't know.
Yeah, Fuchstadt.
Kind of sure. That. It's like Hebrew. You just add like a ch and you're like, I hope I'm right. So he was raised there by his grandparents after his mother died. And his dad just like went back to America, but then later died.
That was like the randomest or like unfortunate twist of the doc. It's like, yeah, so then his dad moved to America and also died. So I was like, yeah, oh,
and died.
So no, okay.
So, and died. So he lived in this small farming village where everyone knew everyone. And he said he had no friends, but people like deny this. So, I mean, buckle in for a guy with delusions of grandeur who likes to write his own stories.
And an embellishment. His entire life was how people tell a story at happy hour. That's kind of like his approach to
that.
Like his life story. He was like, you don't understand. I was like the car was chasing me, Tom Holland in the backseat, when it's like, oh, you were just like on a bus in London.
Yeah. He's like the original YouTuber when it's like, I almost died. And then it's like, I stubbed my toe, you guys.
Yeah. Speaking my truth.
My near-death experience. Yes. Okay. So people also knew him as Harold there, which I don't understand that.
I don't either, because I'm like, I don't really know a lot of Harolds. I don't really know what that would be, if that could be a nickname of anything, like Donald, Harold.
Yes, I don't understand the Harold or the Donald to Harold pipeline, but also a lot of nicknames. I'm like, you got Richard and you got Dick from there. Hey, James to Jimmy. Like,
but you
what?
Know, if
That's
you got
more
Dick
syllables.
From Richard, tell us that story. Leave a review of that experience and our podcast. Hopefully 5 stars for us, and I hope 5 stars for the other thing too.
So after a while, he moved to Frankfurt where he wanted to make a name for himself in scaffolding. What?
But that is the thing where that
the
is like
twist.
The twist of life and also the smartest move, because I don't know how to, no one knows. If you know how to scaffold, you know how to scaffold, and people need that. So I'm like, you find a niche. And you claim it.
Original TikTok creator. He's like, I'm going to be a scaffolding influencer. So he set up his own business in 1979, but that business didn't go great, unfortunately. So he did not become a scaffolding influencer. And his health wasn't in the best of shape. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor at 25. Now, do we know this or did he just tell people this?
He told people this and has like had health signs that could have led to it, but there were no medical records revealed in the doc.
Interesting. Okay. Because it's kind of like, you know how a headache could be, it could be a brain tumor. It could be, I need to drink some water. It could just be, I made it up.
I had like, my neck was so stiff last night before going to bed and I stupidly Googled it and I was like, okay, no. I hope I wake up for this. Okay, yeah.
So the business went bankrupt and Donald turned to hard drugs to self-medicate. Relatable. But then from there, he turned to a kind of shadier business. Drug dealing and extortion, you know, the age-old family biz.
Scaffolding of the mind.
Yeah. So he would set up illegal casinos where gamblers would take out loans for bad rates. I feel like you have to be very well-connected to very scary people to be in this line of work.
Oh, yeah. You have to... You have to be in a crew. You have to be in a group.
Yes, you have to, yes.
Also, that's it. Like, he went to, like, and I don't know how it's hard because he moved to Frankfurt. He's like, hi, scaffolders. I don't know where he was able to mix and mingle with these. There wasn't LinkedIn back then. So who knows how he.
What's the LinkedIn for the mafia? Like, this is seriously, like, feeling like the mafia.
Someone in New Jersey invented that.
Yes. Donald said, I knew where to buy everything, like LSD and weapons.
I like how also like everything, because those are also two extremes where you're like, well, I guess everything in between is for that.
It's like the Bed Bath and Beyond. So in May of 1980, he was sentenced to 2 years in jail for theft and driving without a license.
Like, come on. Out of all. Yeah. But also it's funny, too. He was doing all this stuff and they're like, sir, with the LSD and the weapons and the scaffolding in your trunk, where's your license?
Exactly. So then his other crime came after the fall of the Berlin Wall in November 1989. He was in the Eastern State, and then I'm sorry, I don't know what this means.
Oh, he headed up a pusher column, which is that's where the freeze frame, because that was like, they talked about this in the thing. And okay, so you don't know what a pusher column is. You might know it also as a trucker colon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sure. Like, oh. Yeah, that thing.
Sorry, this grad degree. Well, actually, this correlates. I should teach at Columbia University School of Journalism. I'll teach a 10-minute course on what I attained, because I had to Google. This is actually because I had to Google what this was, because the documentary kind of like they talked about it, but I was like, I'm confused. And all the articles about this was in German. So a lot of it, I just was like Google translating Google to help translate. Out.
And you're like, I still don't know what it means because the translations don't make sense.
Not at all. But a Drucker magazines were like forceful magazine salesmen who would like kind of just like knock on a door and be like, hey, buy this magazine. So they were
like
have
the Boy
people-
Scouts.
Yeah, but you get cookies. Oh, no, those are Girl Scouts. If there's like the cookies, I would sign up for a yearly subscription of those magazines. Not so much.
So basically they would like force you to buy magazine subscription. That's the worst.
Yeah. So they, my God. They would kind of be like, oh, like it's for the children. Like, oh, come on. Like just, it's just so sad. Like we need these signatures and like this money and all this stuff. Just get like this year long subscription. You get all these magazines. Like, do you really need that extra, that $5 a month or whatever? And like they pled the sob story and everything like that to collect all the signatures.
My God. It's like those people that stop you on the street, like, excuse me, do you like puppies? I'm like, not right now. No.
I know. I'm like, who wants to know? Or then like it's so much. And you just see them, they're always outside like a coffee shop. And I'm like, no.
Yes.
And one time, and because I do have a monthly donation to the organization that they was outside. And I was like, oh, I donate. They're like, prove it. I'm like, how do I prove it?
That's so rude.
But because I'm a stubborn Taurus, I did pull up my Gmail receipt and they were like,
but then
you.
They'd be like, well, donate more. Like it never ends.
And wait, it's so funny you said that because I've listened to Never Really Over by Katy Perry 5 times this morning. Something about summer and that song, it brings me to tears. That's so good.
Oh my God.
Don't love her politics because she's just a rich liberal, no. fake liberal no. in LA, but Never Really Over. But you know what also was never really over? The scamming of the pusher columns. And it's kind of crazy too, because obviously these magazine companies and these publishing companies couldn't be like, oh, what's your job? Oh, I'm the person who like coerces people into buying subscriptions. So he was like, quote unquote, a janitor.
What? Why wouldn't you just be like sales? Publishing sales, like...
I feel because it kind of gives people like they probably were like getting a rush from it and also be like, oh, my God, like, yeah, this is so undercover. And I'm sure also they would maybe be able to pay him less on paper then.
Yeah, I guess I'm just confused because like, yeah, why would you want whatever? You know what?
Again, also, this is coming from the mouth of the narcissist guy who wrote his story. Who knows? But he said, and actually, though, they said that he was a janitor at the time, but he was unofficially head of the Drucker.
Maybe he just didn't want anyone to know. So he's like, I'm going to choose a really random side job. So you're never going to connect it to me.
Oh, true. And he'd be like, I'll be the scaffolder for the magazine. And they're like, we don't have.
We're totally remote.
He's like, I could do it outside your apartment.
Yeah.
But his health issues continue to come at him right now. So he had tumors and gained a lot of body weight. And that factors into this whole story. We're not just bringing up his weight because just wait.
Just yes, wait.
That should have been the title of this documentary.
True.
It is sort of confusing. Like you're probably like right now, like, is this a documentary about this magazines or anything like that? We're like, no, not quite.
It's actually about scaffolding.
It's yeah. Scaffold. Guys, we just need a minute of your time to talk about scaffolding. The documentary kicked off focusing on December 19th, 1991. A man walked into a bank, not a bar.
Good joke.
A bank. A good joke. Good. That's the premise. What's the punchline? The bank was in Nuremberg. That's the setup. So get picture Nuremberg.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like a tree. A tree, but like on a street. For anyone, I guess I'm just picturing Brooklyn. For anyone who, like, you know, if you're looking at a map of Germany, though, you can zoom in on Nuremberg. And this happened in the afternoon, approximately 3:30. this man entered the bank. And this is also like kind of like, I know this would never be how I could enter anything or ever be described as, but like they said he entered the bank calmly but coldly. Like, what a presence.
That is a serve.
Like, you're just like, oh, him? Oh, he walked in calmly but coldly. I walk in and like my tote bag knocks over like the hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. And I'm like picking it up, apologizing. Like, so I could not rob a bank or have any dignity.
So true. With my ludicrously capacious bag.
Yeah. Ludicrously capacious. Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. And he walked in, but like coldly, calmly threatened customers and coworkers and like the workers there. He pointed his gun to the nearest teller and obviously was like, put the money in the bag. And the teller was like, here you go. And handed it to him. And the robber immediately peaced out. And like all in all, he stole 54 Dutch marks from the bank and a bunch of other currencies. So like he was just like,
So now he has to go to the airport and like convert
it. I know, right? Oh, sorry, 54,000 Dutch marks. Yeah. Which I don't think Dutch marks don't exist anymore. And I know that because I think they don't. Because Tina Turner sings Dutch marks are dollars in the song Private Dancer. And I was like, what is that? When I heard that song when I was younger. And I was like, oh, cool. She lives in Zurich now. See, this is why I can't enter calmly and coldly. I would just bring up Tina Turner. He left in a taxi, which was his getaway car and a rival car. He just kind of was like, that's also like the levels. I also want a side documentary about the taxi driver because he was just like to the taxi driver, oh, I just need to pick up some money at the bank. Like, do you mind waiting? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah, just pick up some money with my gun.
Yeah. And then was like, got in. Obviously, when he left, the teller called the police immediately. The taxi driver like waited in the parking lot. Then he got in the car and was like, drive. And she's like, yeah, before she knew what was happening, she's like, yeah, I'm a taxi driver. I'm growing to drive. I would love it first. She's like, yeah, I'm on my way. And she's about to turn right to a destination. And he said, I said left, go left or I'll shoot you. Which changes some vibes. And so she drove down a one-way street the wrong way.
Sheesh.
And then he got out and was gone.
Damn, that's a one-star rating right there. So police were obviously on the case to find out who robbed this bank. The only issue was that they didn't really know much about the guy. They had a lot of security cameras in the bank, but they just knew that he was wearing sunglasses, wearing black, which is anyone in New York City.
Truly, that's like, that was me and Sarah this morning, I feel, or like, and probably everybody listening to this. They're like, yeah. Did I do this?
But then the teller was like, the guy did seem obese. And so then the cops like spring into action because they're like, who? I guess in Germany, there's one fat guy. Like,
they're like obese, fat or obese. We have one. Okay. It's like Clue.
Yeah.
Is he obese?
Yeah. So they were like, oh, we know the one guy. They're like, Donald. They said he looked like he could be the guy, but Donald kept denying it. And he said he was very far away from Nuremberg that day and even had an alibi. He said he was at a friend's house in Saxony. And he was also like, yeah, I have tumors. I can't like run around and rob banks.
Yeah. He's like, that's not really in my forte.
Yeah. But none of this even like mattered because the investigation just kind of went in a certain direction and they locked on him and they were just determined to kind of prove that he did it. And all the bank teller and the witnesses were like, this is him. And yeah, I mean, they really had nothing on him besides him being overweight. And just to kind of point out how shoddy this investigation was, they put him in a lineup, but he wasn't even with like other people who were overweight.
Like, what is Germany's regime where they're like, we couldn't find anybody else that fits the bill, even for the lineup?
Yeah, like, they just put him in a room by himself so the witnesses could be like, oh, yeah, that's him. Like, what?
It's so, and just like, and like, just to further double down on it.
That is so shoddy. And then even the taxi driver identified him, which kind of made it really hard for him to prove otherwise since she drove up close with the bank robber. But I'm also like, well, you're in the front seat. You're looking at the road. You're looking through that tiny rearview mirror.
Right? You're driving
it's
the wrong way.
It's not like you were
next
to him in an Uber pool, you know?
And like sunglasses, yeah.
What's even wilder is all the police are like, yeah, this seems legit, but his fingerprints didn't match the ones from the bank.
The one time, because there were so many, I feel like, crimes we've covered where they just like don't have fingerprint DNA. We're like, well, we'll never know.
Yeah.
Now this is a case with fingerprint DNA. And they're like, doesn't match.
We're like, throw it out.
But yeah.
Like wild. And the footage from the crime scene showed the robber not wearing gloves. So like there would be fingerprints and there were fingerprints on the taxi. And Donald also had his hotel manager in Saxony show his receipt and confirmation ticket to prove he was there. And the police were like, nah.
It's like, they were just like, we don't want to hear it. We're only about positivity, our options. Yes.
But one thing was a lot of the witnesses he had for his alibi were also people who were like advertisers for his magazine. So the court, I guess, was kind of suspicious of his alibi. But still.
Still. And then it is insane what happens next. Also, guys, buckle in. There's like 9 twists to this story.
It's too much.
It's too much. So they were kind of like, what could we possibly do to really seal the deal? We don't have fingerprint evidence because that is objectively against us. Let's go the anthropological route.
Like what?
Yeah, because investigators are like, not really going in our favor. And when they said this, I was like, does this mean something else in Germany?
No, it's literally just like, we're going to make some guesses about skulls. Like, how are you putting that in a courtroom?
Court. So they had this expert called in to minutely study pictures of the robber and also Donald to determine if they were the same man. It's like, truly, it's just kind of, you're like,
how do you get a master's degree in looking with your eyes? Like, what?
And seeing what you say. I mean, oh, God bless. Okay, but like, they were like, this is going to give the court a conclusive decision. So all in all, like, again, he spent 2 years in prison during the investigation. And then when it came up, the anthropological route for it was, guys, look at the ear.
This part was so crazy.
Which is also, they were a whole thing where they were like, no ear.
Yes.
No two ears look the same.
They were literally like, ears are as unique as fingerprints. I'm like, I don't know if I buy that at all.
And that was my favorite because I'm like, fingerprints, the thing you're throwing out as evidence because it doesn't match.
That's so true. But you're going to go with the ear.
The ears. And the like, it truly was like, blame it on the ear. Like, that was the one thing they had going for them.
I'm calling T-Pain.
Yes, as my witness. And so then also this became known as the ear report in the press. And nice. Like, so all of the setup. And they really kind of went full in on this, being like, well, there were no other people in the lineup that matched the build. And the ears.
But there were
no
other people in the lineup.
Exactly. And I'm sure they all would have similar ears. I've never, like, ears look so, yeah. And also as a side note, the German setup for court, it was like 5 judges there and 3 full-time professionals with like 2 on jury duty. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
That's confusing.
It was very confused. All in all, he was sentenced to 9 years in prison for this bank robbery.
Oh my God, over his ears.
Ears. They add that there was a second charge for embezzlement during this, which he did in the past, but we couldn't find. I wasn't able to like find like the documents or anything about it. So like, call out Netflix because they didn't dig into that side charge as much. But now, no, this was not just a story of years gone wrong, because during this time while locked up, he was apparently kept in complete isolation because he refused to admit guilt for the crimes. Pin in that.
Yikes.
Yeah, put a pin in that because we get into just what that is later on. But since he didn't confess, there were no questions of integrating him back into society, and therefore he was kept to solitary confinement. He says this, but people in prison
seems very wrong. Like,
and it was. Well, at least like people in prison were like, no, he was in the sick ward for health reasons because like he couldn't move and walk, and also like low-key like ran the sick ward.
Hell yeah.
Like, he would be like, I need some cigarettes, I need some food, I need the TV remote, I need
the ramen.
Yes, all the things. So he wasn't in solitude. And it is also funny because one of his friends that he met in there pivots to a post-prison plan that we'll get into about him. So he was released finally on February 14th, 2001. Happy Valentine's Day. And Sarah, what happens next?
Well, while Donald was in jail, an inconvenient thing happened, which was a number of other banks got robbed in the same way, like a guy rolling up in a taxi, this overweight guy, calm and cold, you know, that's his MO.
His move.
So Donald called his lawyer about the robbery. So they decided to look for new evidence. You know, the fingerprints. Who would have thought?
The fingerprints.
They ended up finding a man of similar build. And he, the real robber, please stand up. He did after he was caught bragging about his crimes. Idiot.
Nah, never do that, people. I know it's hard. Not so calm and coldly if you're bragging.
Yeah. Danny, what's your mantra about this?
Well, I always say, don't be trouble, you won't be none.
True. But you also say, if you steal, you gotta seal your lips.
Oh, yes, I forgot I said that, yes. I think it's rule number zero.
Rule number zero.
If you steal, you gotta seal.
Yes.
Like, don't do it for bragging rights.
So stupid. So this man, and now I'm like, why did Netflix give him anonymity?
I know.
Weird. We're just gonna call him Frank. He confessed to it all. And he also apologized to Donald while on trial. So the actual robber got 11 and a half years in prison.
He truly, it was like Mean Girls, where it's like, I don't hate you because you're fat. You're fat because I hate you. Like, I'm sorry.
So Donald obviously was pissed, and he became a regular on talk show circuits as a man who was wronged by the state, and then officially became acquitted of the crime. And he spent 9 years in prison.
Yeah.
And he was initially compensated 60,000 Dutch marks, which was probably not enough. I mean, I don't know the conversion rate, but 9 years in prison, I'm like, I should be getting like a million per year.
Please. And then some. And then add tax.
Yeah.
And then add some ramen.
Well, apparently because, wow, this is just fucking petty. Apparently the state deducted food and lodging.
Isn't that insane?
It only came out to about 20 Dutch marks a day. How are you deducting lodging from prison? That's not like a 5-star hotel. Maybe it is in Germany. I don't know. But
maybe the sick ward. I mean, who knows? But yeah.
That is kind of evil.
It's Airbnb. Yeah.
No, you got to pay for the wrongful forced lodging and food we gave you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Wow, I'm surprised this didn't happen in America. This seems like a very American thing to do.
I mean, I'm sure it does.
So the full total after, you know, his 5-star stay was deducted was about 24,000 Dutch marks. And again, that is too low.
So low.
So he went to temporary housing after this and read a lot about management and business and then went on to sue the expert. The ear guy. We're calling him the ear guy.
Ear guy.
He went on to sue the ear guy in a civil case, and he felt that this guy could have been the reason a lot of other people may be wrongfully convicted. And it was a big deal because before this, no judge or expert had ever been convicted in a civil trial. But he was.
And I know, too, the other anthropologist in the documentary was like, this guy is now an embarrassment to us. And like, really has made it so much harder for using anything like this in cases.
Well, you shouldn't. Oh my God.
Yes, right?
Years. Okay. So he had to pay $150,000 in personal compensation, which honestly seems fair.
Yeah, double it.
And it was the first case in Germany where an expert witness was held civilly liable. But then, of course, Donald like went on these press tours and kind of got a little loose-lipped about things.
He mentioned it all.
He mentioned it all. One time he even sold his story for like 10,000 Dutch marks. And he said, we wouldn't believe how much money he made via the media. He said between 500 and 1,000 marks for each appearance. And then he like low-key became an influencer. Like he partnered with a brewery. He'd wear brand shirts on his show when he would do interviews.
Like, truly, he kind of was like Ariana post-Scandoval. Like, yes. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get my checks.
Absolutely. And then one time a TV show caught on and they tried to like make him put on a new shirt so that he couldn't do the product placement. And then he was like, oh, okay. So he puts on a hat.
Yeah. They were like, we're going to sew you a new shirt backstage. Well, I'm like, that's so rude, A. And then that was my favorite. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll tip my hat to you, brewery.
So rude. And then he started investing and working with different businesses, and things were like on the up and up. Sounds like a happy story until 2009.
Which like really took me in a time warp of just like where I was like, oh God, what was 2009? And then I was like,
I don't want to know.
I looked up like the 2009 hits. It was truly like I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas, Poker Face, Lady Gaga,
yes,
and Beyonce Halo.
Sounds about right.
And I'm like, and Circus by Britney Spears. Will we ever be so young again? Gosh.
It all went downhill from there.
It really, really, you know, it came out kind of, it really was such a...
Should we get the Black Eyed Peas back together? Would that fix things?
Honestly, it's worth a shot. I think, yeah, I'm into that. So another decade...
I mean, where is the love, you know?
Like the way
they were asking some good questions.
I remember being a child being like, oh, this is going to fix things. I'm like, guys, wait. Fergie's on it.
Yes.
We'll be good.
It's like a musical version of Kendall Jenner handing that cop a Pepsi.
Wait. Oh my God. I need someone to put that song over that.
Yeah.
Side note, Don't Funk With My Heart was one of my favorite songs of all time.
That song was very good.
I'm putting that on cue to listen to the second we finish telling you guys about this other robbery. So on December 15th, 2009, there was a truck transporting gold that was approached by a police car on the Autobahn 81 right before 10 a.m. They stop under a highway bridge, very country song, and the truck was kind of like, hi. That's kind of like the energy of like this whole altercation. Like, hi, how are you?
Like the wave emoji. Yeah. What?
Hi, what's up? And they pull over and the cop's like, yeah, you guys are being arrested for tax evasion. What? Because you're like, oh, was my blinker not on? Was I going too fast? No, tax evasion. And it was then in this moment that the truck drivers realized, oh, the license plate isn't a cop plate.
Uh-oh.
It was a BMW with blue lights and a neon sign that said, please follow.
They didn't pay for like the premium package. So it's like, please follow neonsigns.com.
Yeah. Please follow me in the middle of the night, neonsign.com. When they got out, and also when they got out of the car to be questioned by the policia, they noticed a barcode on it that just shows it was a rental car.
Yep.
Hertz is pulling him over. So after being called for tax evasion arrest, they just got in this not cop car and drove off, which I mean, I guess like you're like, I'm not going to, if these people are pretending to be police pulling me over, I'm not going to say, hey, I see that barcode. I guess you're like, okay, I'm terrified of you.
I wouldn't get in the car.
But they, I don't know. It's hard. I would just start singing, follow me, and hope they would just not want to kidnap me. I'm like, I have a 2009 hits medley.
Yes.
Ready for your leisure. So while this was going on, other people dressed as officers just looted the truck of the gold.
It's a good plan.
Good plan.
And the truck drivers, that I see.
Can I tell you? Perfection. And the truck drivers were left in the middle of the woods.
Oof.
Are we out of the woods yet? And now they're not. And over €1.5 million of euro worth of gold is gone.
Oof.
And they kept saying they were acting like tax investigators, which I was like, is this what tax investigators do? I really pictured them to just like wear like suits.
How does one act like a tax investigator? Like you're just very boring.
Oh, shade. I feel like, you know, if there's any chic tax investigators out there, like tax season confuses me. So hit me up. I paid my taxes. So police were alerted and they immediately linked it to Zaytar, this rapper. Who apparently was already making a name for himself with the law and needed the money, which, I mean, €1.5 million.
Who doesn't need that money? I need it.
Don't funk with my euros. Yeah. And Zaytar also apparently means danger.
Oh, that's it. Cool rapper name.
Good rap name. Oh my god, a pigeon. Hi. Not in my apartment, but
I like that it's just danger. It's not like young danger.
Oh, that's true.
Little danger. Just danger.
Little danger. Baby danger.
Yeah.
Stranger danger.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did like he also like his main stream of revenue was like outlandish internet videos, which like he would be thriving now.
Yeah, same. I know. He's just a few years too early for TikTok.
Both of these people were, yeah. So they did have a plan in place because after the robbery, they all fled the country, but that was sort of their only plan because once they were found and brought back to Germany, they were like, hi, again.
Yeah, I don't, that's like what we just talked about the other week where I'm like, if you're going to flee, you need to go somewhere that doesn't extradite to your country.
Yes, no, exactly. Apparently, he also treated this sort of like a spectacle. Like, there was even like this TV lawyer who was involved.
Better Call Saul was there.
That's true. And like, also just as a side note, like, not to like to emphasize how much of a TV lawyer this guy was. He had like a front mohawk, so he just like walked in with an energy. Yes.
Yeah. That definitely says, Your Honor, I object.
I object to this. I object to Combs and your line of questioning.
Exactly.
The question that police needed to know, how did Zaytar and his gang know about the truck's route? So this, Sarah, is how we get back to our man of the hour. The Don du jour.
The Don, Teflon Don, it all circles back to him because Zaytar said that the tip came from Donald. And I mean, now this is like, this is really just a bad joke. There's a TV lawyer working with a rapper who says Donald is the guy behind the crime. And I also kind of feel like now if you're going to accuse our man of something, I don't know why he's our man. He's not. But if you're going to accuse this man of a crime, like I would think that you would have to come very correct this time.
Right. Co-signing that. The lawyer with the mohawk should have said that.
Yes. But apparently, after his interview era, Donald started investing in gold mines and even bought one in Ghana, which I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's what I don't like. That's how much money he was making from these beer ads on his hat.
That's a fucking lot. He has gold mine money. He bought it with a business partner, Frank Vogel. And then he also opened up a diamond shop called Gold Oasis for watching and antiquities.
Hmm.
I mean, and he was living the life. So, you know, I'm into it.
Yeah. And his business partner really, like, they supported one another.
Yes. So Zaytar and authorities claimed that Zaytar met Donald at his shop. And then Donald found out about this scrap gold dealer in Nuremberg and befriended someone who was a transporter for this dealer. And this is how they said that he knew when the deliveries would happen and where the route would be. Mm. So during the trial, a lot of phone logs showed that Zaytar and the crew would talk to Donald a lot. The two also met a week before the robbery. And they looked at the scrap dealer's website, which I'm like, I don't know scrap dealers.
I had websites.
That also seems like a word of mouth type of biz, but whatever.
That's true. He's like, no, trust me. I can. It's like scaffolding.com/scrap dealer.
Yeah. Frank says Donald knows a lot of people, and it's not shocking he knows someone who got robbed by someone. Because you're like, if you know, if there's 100 people in the room, Lady Gaga, you know, one of them got robbed, I guess.
One of them got robbed. And Donald knows all of them.
Yeah, exactly. And then Donald during the documentary was like, my lawyer always knew where I was. And the lawyer was like, I don't know him. Like, that's not true.
The lawyer was like, I tried repeatedly calling and emailing him and never got an answer. I didn't even have an address for him.
Eek. So the trial ended with Zaytar going to prison for 8 years. Donald denied any involvement and said the rapper only did it for the clout.
Do anything for clout.
Exactly. And apparently his label is also called Goldman Entertainment, and there's the movie about him, which, sidebar, we'll have to watch that after that.
Oh, we need to. And he also wrote a book while in prison.
I love that. So the court kind of did think that Donald gave Zatar the info, but number one, he was very sick. And number two, like, yeah, they were kind of like, we can't charge him again unless we're like 100% sure.
Truly, they can't be like, hi, guys, we messed up again, like another oopsie daisy.
Exactly. So the medical examiner was like, Donald can't go to jail or stand trial. Like, he's too sick. But I also thought that, like, why would he even get involved? I thought there was some kind of like insurance scam, right?
For Donald?
Yeah. Cause like, why would you just help someone steal $1 million? Like, there's gotta be something for you.
I think he was gonna get a little cut of it.
Okay.
A little bit of that. When I cry, yes. I love to, because the medical examiner, they were like, yeah, he can't fit trial. But I remember Donald saying, like, the examiner opened up my document, saw my name, turned to me and said, you're that Donald? And he was like, yes, I am. And he was like, this system could never repay you. You cannot go to trial.
Dramatic.
Dramatic.
Some people also thought that Zatar only brought Donald into this because they knew that he wouldn't be imprisoned. Other people was like, well, he's sick, so he really has nothing to lose by getting involved. Some people are like, well, maybe you get a little freebie. You got to get out of jail free card. That would seem fair.
Some people are, you're like, okay, well, you did some time, I guess. Like, what are we gonna get out of you for this?
Yeah. And so he never, you know, nothing happened with that. And he still lives in the German countryside and is cared after by Frank.
Frank, his business owner. And like in the documentary, they just have a bunch of sandwiches together. And kind of see, I know, I'm like, okay, like, that's in, like, I'm like, you guys get to like just like live in the German countryside. Like, why don't we do that?
We could do that. We just have to rob a truck full of gold.
That's true.
Or like wrongfully go to prison for 9 years. Take your pick.
Okay, I'll stay stateside. But that was kind of the crazy bow on everything. Went to like did jail time for a crime he didn't commit and didn't do jail time for a crime we're all pretty sure he did. So
it's
I
feel like it's like you net out. I think that seems kind of fair.
When a heart breaks, you know what? Don't break even. That's what that song said. And I know it is, yes. Kind of like, you know, that worked itself out. So shout out to Big Mac.
Yes. I feel like as long as he kind of stays on the straight and narrow and doesn't do anything, like, you know, it's like you got your one. Now don't push it. And
that's
we're good.
True. And we're good. So we'll be watching you, Donald.
Yeah.
We'll be watching you. And if any of you guys watch this documentary also, let us know your extra thoughts and also just like kind of takeaways from the episode. I think there's like some good docs coming out this summer too. So we'll keep an eye on those to unpack and cover with you guys as well.
Yes. And if there's anything else you want us to cover, drop us a DM at Not Another True Crime on Instagram or put it in the Facebook group. Or you could DM me personally. I'll definitely read it at Sarah Lameem. That wasn't sarcasm. I feel like if you send it to me, like, it won't get lost in the DM void over there.
I feel you. Yes, because likewise too, at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere the K, and we'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to NATC@betches.com. Betches.